going to the banquet feast, as a matter of fact. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew in the 22nd chapter, verses 1 through 14. Because what gives anything worth is truly and only the touch of the Master's hand. Because without the Master's hand, we're worth less. But in the Master's hands, we are worth it all. And Jesus told us that. He showed us that. So if you would, from Matthew in the 22nd chapter, we're going to read verses 1 through 14. And then we're going to come back and we're going to teach on these very words. Jesus spoke to them again in parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatted livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized the slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those who are invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?' And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Blessed be the reading of the word of our Lord to our souls. In this parable, it's really fairly easy to see who's being spoken of. This is one of the parables that really opens up and on its surface shows us who it's talking about. Because in the beginning, God set his seal over his people, his nobles, if you would. Okay? Because that's who gets invited to the king's wedding. Wouldn't you agree? The common man doesn't get invited to the king's wedding. Only the nobles get invited to the king's wedding. So when he sent out the invitation, how many invitations did he actually send out? It says here that he sent two. The reality is he sent many. Because the slaves that went out, who do they represent? How many of us have any idea who the slaves represent? The slaves are the prophets and the priests who went bringing the true word of God. Okay? And what did they do to the prophets and priests, those who truly brought the word of God? John the Baptist was beheaded, okay? And when we look at many of the other prophets, they were handled roughly. They were beaten. Many of them were killed because they brought the message of repentance, of coming to God in a worthy manner, of turning to Him. And they rejected that message. And when the Messiah came, when it was finally time and the bridegroom was here, they even killed him. So when we think of this parable, we have to understand that the very first people that were sent, were called, was Israel. The chosen people. The people of promise. And yet, they rejected the invitation because what they were saying was, "We no longer need you. We no longer want you. You're not our king. We've become our own kings." It's a danger that we all have to watch as we walk with God, because we can become so engrossed in what He is giving us, the blessings that He gives us, that we forget that we're not the master who makes the violin sing. The violin is nothing in and of itself. They couldn't even get a $3 bid. But as soon as the master touches it, the value is exponentially increased. And once we walk in that increase, we think it's ours. We think it's all about us, that we've done it, that we've arranged it, that we've made it. But we forget that without the master's hand, we're still dust. We are nothing. But the parable goes on, and it says that the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their cities on fire. How does that tell into the history of Israel? It tells into the history of Israel very well, and it also predicted something that was yet to come for Israel, because several times God chastened them, tore them out of their land, sent armies upon them, and their cities were destroyed, and they were taken into exile. And then they were brought back by grace through favor until the final time when the Romans came and tore down the temple for the last time and burnt Jerusalem to the ground. From that day to this, there has been no temple. They cannot worship God in a worthy manner, because at that time, they rejected the final banquet for them. So the king said to his slaves, he said to whom? Now we're talking about the apostles. He said to his new slaves, he said, go, bring them in from the highways and the byways. Bring in the unworthy. Bring in the dirty. Bring in the broken. Bring in the downhearted. Now, I think it's amazing, because when you think about it, here are these nobodies, and they're invited to the king's palace. How many of us would give up everything we have to go to the king's palace and sit down at a banquet with the king and be recognized by the king? I think it's amazing, because when you look back, because this parable is taught at other places, and in the book of Luke, it literally says in there that they came up with these weird excuses, okay? Here there was two. The one guy was going to go look at his farm, and the other guy had something else to do. In the book of Luke, it says that one was going to go look at a pair of oxen that he had. You know, I got to go check them out. You know, those oxen are more important than the bride or the wedding of the Son of God. Well, we know what that wedding is, right? We do, don't we? That's the end of the story. Because that's when we, the church, come in with him. That final triumphal entry. And then when he returns, he sets all things right. And they're making excuses. How many people make excuses in life now? How many of us who are the downtrodden, we're outside the promise, make excuses. And yet the invitation has been given to each and every one of us who is a Gentile, who is outside of the family of God, to come into the family of God. We are invited. There is an engraved invitation. Where was it engraved? On the cross of Calvary with three nails. An open invitation for each and every one of us. And it so amazes me, because as these people went, they collected both the good and the evil. What's that sound like? Sounds like the church to me. Because the church is filled with people who are both there because they've received salvation and because it's a good place to go and we can get things for nothing. People will help us and we'll get handouts and you know, we can go along with the group and live a decent life and have a bunch of friends. And the reality is, we're not accepting Christ, but we're going to go to the party anyhow. How many of us like to go to a party? How many of you have ever heard of party crashers? People that aren't invited, they just show up, right? I think it's funny, because Russell and Noel are getting ready to have their wedding here in September. We all know that. And they've got all these invitations that they've sent out. And it's funny, because being the father-in-law and the father, you know, I get to hear the grumblings, and they're like, yeah, well, I wonder if that person's just going to show up. You know, well, I hope not. We didn't invite them. They're not supposed to. You know, so it's funny. Now they're both feeling like, oh, man, I hope nobody here thinks that we're talking about them. But it's funny, because we all know that there's people out there like that. Because everybody wants something for nothing. And here we have these people, both good and evil, that are coming together, coming to this thing. But there's something we got to watch out for. Because when we look at the scriptures here, when these people come, they're dressed appropriately, okay? But some aren't. That's the good and the evil, all right? Those who are dressed appropriately, what's that talking about? That is talking about the fact that we are coming dressed, having received that invitation, which is the cross of Calvary. We have received that blood-soaked cross, and we stand under that blood. The blood of Jesus Christ covers us. And there are many who see it but don't receive it. Yeah, I got the invitation. I knew who it was from. I didn't open it up, but I'm here anyhow. We need to open it up. We need to receive it to ourselves. We need to be coming in the covering of Jesus Christ, in the cross of Calvary. This past week, and I'm going to, you all know I'm going to talk about the missions trip. I mean, I just spent a whole week there. It was so amazing to me because I got to watch a whole bunch of young people who were covered in the blood. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not talking about our youth. I don't want you all to think I'm talking about our youth. Some of them were a little rowdy. Okay? Some of them were a little obnoxious. Some of them were downright crude. But that's kids, right? They're still growing in their faith. They need just a little bit more of that covering. Amen. But it was so amazing for me to see it because when we gathered together in the evenings and we had our LGG time, our large group gathering, they received each other in such a way that you'd have thought they knew each other for the last 25 years, and most of them ain't that old. I think the oldest youth there was Miss Riley. And the rest were all adults. And there were 10 of us. But I'm going to tell you right now, it was amazing to me to see that covering, to be able to look out and say, wow, these have received the invitation, and they're wearing those garments. They're waiting for that final day when the banquet is ready and the door is open and they can enter in. Because not only did they show it there, but they showed it to the people that they served. It's not often we give our youth the opportunity to just go and do. We as the adults, you know, we like to be there and tell them what to do and supervise. And now you just watch, I'll show you how to do this. And we do the thing. Well, where we were, you weren't allowed to do the work. You weren't supposed to do the work. The kids were. The youth were. They were doing things that they had never done before. Miss Riley, did you ever run a saw before, an electric saw before? Your daddy'd be proud. You got all your fingers, right? And it was amazing because they've never been to something like this. How many of us have ever been to the King's Banquet? How many of us know what we're going to get into when we get there? We just need to come prepared, right? We need to come fully committed. And that's what God's asking here. Because the people that he initially invited, the chosen people, rejected him, came up with all kinds of excuses. Are we going to do the same? Or are we going to come as we are, simply in the covering that's been given to us? Because you see, that's the one thing it really doesn't say here, but we need to understand from it that God, in the invitation, sends the clothing that we're supposed to be wearing when we get there, because he knew he was inviting people who weren't prepared. He's not inviting people who've been living their lives in the law, knowing him as a chosen group, having the circumcision of the body. These are uncircumcised people. These are people who've not walked with him, who don't know who he is, because they're the people who are out there in the highways and the byways. And he's opening the kingdom. Nah, he's opening the palace, his home. And we will live with him forever. Do you know how big the kingdom, do you know how big the city is going to be? Do you know how big God's palace is? This is kind of neat. It's 1,500 miles square. When you translate the measurements that are in the scripture, it's 1,500 miles square. That means on the very first floor, there's 2 million square miles. Wow. He's got a pretty big place, and we're all invited to be there. Are we going to show up worthy? You and I can't do it in and of ourselves. And that's the point of the gentleman who comes not clothed properly, because he came in his own attire. He came in his own estate. And we're not worthy. But through the invitation, we're worth it, because the King has said, here, come. Come. All I require is this one thing. What's the one thing God requires from any one of us? To accept His Son, Jesus Christ, and His payment on the cross as our way of salvation. Each and every person here, that's the only thing we have to accept. Now, once we accept that, what happens to us? We're truly changed. We are truly changed. When we put that righteousness on us, you can't help but be changed by it. I want to ask you folks a question, okay? When you put on good clothes, don't you walk just a little bit more staunchly? You know, when I'm wearing my, you know, when we were on the missions trip, I had jeans on that blew out, okay? They literally, my leg, I hate when these young kids wear jeans that are all blowed out, you know? I was wearing jeans that were blowed out, and I really felt bad. But on a day like today, when I can put on my slacks and my button-down shirt, I feel appropriate. I feel good. When I wear my suits, man, I love wearing my Joseph Banks suits. They cost $700. Now, I only paid $35 for them. Don't tell anybody. But that's what I'm talking about. We get transformed. When you put on that good clothes, it's so amazing, because we just strut around. How do you think it's going to be in eternity when we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Oh, my. And the awesome thing is, we can strut around like that right now. Now, we ain't supposed to be all full of ourselves, but we're to be full of Christ, showing His righteousness. Look what the Lord did for me. Look how He has clothed me. Look how He has arraigned me. I'm worthy because He made me this way. And that's better than the nobles. I'll guarantee you they had more of a party with those poor people there than they did with those rich people there. Because those rich people would have thought that, oh, well, I deserve to be here, right? They'd have been clamoring for the front seat. We'd all been glad just to get in the back door. And I think it's funny, because who has the most fun at a party? Isn't it the party crashers? It's those people that get there and they're not invited and they just start making a hoopla. But we need to remember, we were invited. We are invited. The Lord of glory shed His blood that we may be invited. He knew that was going to happen. He knew He was rejected. In fact, He was rejected by Israel before the shedding of His blood. The shedding of His blood was the new invitation being sent to you and I. Because when He was standing there in their midst, okay? And we're going to be studying that today in discipleship. We're going to be studying that today in discipleship. You need to come to discipleship. I'm telling you right now, if you're walking out the door and going out into the parking lot and going away, you have not even begun to understand what the Word of God is. You need to come to discipleship. We need to study that Word together so we can grow. I can't teach you enough here, because you can't talk back to me unless I ask a specific question. But there we can all chew this thing up. And I'm going to tell you right now, they called Jesus Christ Beelzebub. They said He was he was giving Himself to the devil. That's how He was able to cast out demons. And at that moment, they rejected Jesus. And Jesus said, okay, you're rejecting My invitation? I'm going to write another one, and it's going to go out to the Gentiles. And that was the cross of Calvary. Their invitation was engraven on stone. It's called the Ten Commandments. Ours, our invitation was written in the blood of Christ. on the cross of Calvary. And you and I need to understand that when we come clothed in that invitation, because it's truly that invitation that opens the door, then we are fully accepted by God. You can be as messed up as the next man. How many of us are in here that you know, we've been walking with the Lord and we're all perfect? We still need that covering, don't we? Because we need it to hide some stuff that's under there. Well, I'm telling you right now, it ain't hiding nothing. It ain't hiding nothing. It's actually cleansing it. Okay, I want you all to know that. God knows you, God loves you, and He's working on you moment by moment, day by day, to the point where those things will come out. It all comes out in the wash, right? Just use more Clorox. I can make a black pair of pants white as sheet. Just need more Clorox. And the blood of the Lamb purifies us, changes us, transforms us, makes us right, makes us whole. And as we see this parable unfolding, we see that there's this one, and we should all be brokenhearted by this. We see this one, this party crasher, if you will, and unfortunately, a party crasher to King's Place doesn't work. We tolerate party crashers in our world, right? The King doesn't. He knows who He's invited. He knows who's supposed to be there. And there it says that He spoke to this one. And what did this one say back to Him? What did He say? What did He say? What's the word say? He was speechless. I want you to understand something. When we get before God in heaven, there's going to be three things, I believe, that will be spoken at that moment. Because this tells us that He's going to question us. How did you get in here? You know, everybody says to me, well, do you think He's really going to ask that question? Do you believe the Bible? He's going to ask us, how did you get in here? There's going to be three answers that we're going to hear given. The first answer is, well, you know, I've been a good person most of my life, and, you know, I've done some pretty good things. That's the nobles. That's the nobles. They're those who knew, and they were invited to the first feast and rejected, and they're going to be cast out. They're already cast out. In fact, they were cast out at that moment. But they're still going to come because they're going to come before the final judgment. Then there are going to be those who are going to walk up to Jesus, and when He says, how did you get here? And they're just going to be speechless because they have nothing to say, because they have no righteousness. They have nothing but sin in their lives, and they know that they don't belong there. They won't be able to speak a word, because how can you speak a lie in the presence of holiness? And then the third group of people, I pray that's you and me. Because we're going to walk in and He's going to say, how did you get in here? And we're going to say, I got the invitation. What are we going to say?
I got the invitation.
Jesus died for me. And He's my Lord. He's my Savior. His blood has given me the hope of glory. For I deserve not to be here, but I received the invitation. You see, it's a difference between getting an invitation in the mail, and I'm talking to our postal carriers here, okay? If you deliver something, has it been received? Not necessarily. It's only received when you take it out of the box and open it up and take the stuff out, okay, and deal with it. That's received. And we need to receive that invitation. We need to take it upon ourselves, and then we are changed. For many are called, but few are chosen. You see, God sends the invitation out to the entire world through His church, through His word, and through the grace that is Jesus Christ. So you and I need to understand, are we receiving? I think many of you here have. I mean, you know, I know most of you. No, I know all of you personally. And I know where you stand. I know you're a work in progress. Because I am too. Ask the kids. They saw it firsthand. Okay? Ask my wife. She sees it every day. She says, I'm the biggest work there is. She's right. And as we accept that, as we walk in that, as we take that responsibility to work, to be that work, God will move in our lives to bring us to that place where we're acceptable unto Him. I told the kids all week, because they felt, some of them felt like, you know, I just can't do this. I can't do that. I can't get this right. I can't. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, it's the heart that's willing that is acceptable unto the Lord. That's Old Testament. The heart that's willing is acceptable unto the Lord, because then He takes what you're willing to give and turns it into something far better than you could ever hope. Wait till we show you the pictures of what these kids did. We raised a house. When I say that, I don't mean that. We literally lifted a house. Four youth and an old man. It was tough, man. Yeah, maybe Robert. But in the power of the cross, in the power of Christ, the kingdom is opened to us. The palace of God is opened to us. And He says, come, share, eat, drink, taste, know that I am good. And guess what happens? I think this is one of the most amazing things. We go from an invited guest to becoming the bride. Because once we're in the door, He shuts the door. And we are not just invited guests, but we become the bride through the righteousness of Christ. So today, sorry about that, I want you to think about this parable and what it means. What privilege we have as a church who has received the invitation. But guess what we're supposed to do with that invitation? Because it's you know, now we become the slaves. Again, you remember the slaves went out and took the invitation, right? We've received the invitation. Guess what our invitation comes with? More invitations that we are supposed to be taking out and giving to other people. Once we have received it, that invitation is an open-ended invitation to anyone who will receive it. And we're supposed to take that same invitation out and give it again and again and again and again and again until all have received. And we have reached the fullness of the Gentiles. What does that mean? When our sin has finally gotten to the point where no more can be tolerated. So until that day, we need to pour out, and not our sin, I'm talking about the world's sin. So until that day, we need to pour out. We need to be inviting people to church. We need to be inviting people to Christ. We had an awesome trip. The last thing we did on our trip was hand out the invitation. How'd we hand out the invitation, girls? Through the work we did? Yeah. How do we hand out the invitation, Charles? No. Two men and a dog. Speak it. Don't be bashful. You weren't bashful on the trip. You know these people. We stopped on the way home. We didn't get home until 11 o'clock. We didn't have a lot of time. We had time for our church to talk, but we didn't have time to bust it all down and get real. So on the way home, we stopped. I told him we would. And we sat in a parking lot for 3 hours on the ground and poured out. I had youth in tears sharing things. The whole time, there were two homeless men sitting behind a sign, listening to our conversation. And when we left, they just kind of sat there and watched us. And the Spirit spoke to me and said, "You fed them spiritually. They heard every word you said. They heard every struggle. They heard everything. And they heard and saw how God moved in these kids' lives. Now you fed them spiritually. Now feed their need." And I just looked. And I walked back over. I told Miss Leslie, I said, "Here, go get the kids whatever they want." I walked over and I said to the two young men, I said, "I'd like to buy you dinner." I said, "You just heard where we are." I said, "We're no different than you. We all struggle. But now I need to take care of another need. How can I feed you today? What would you like to eat?" And they just looked at each other and said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." They said, "Oh man, that's awesome." And we went and bought them dinner. They heard our garbage, they heard our trash, and then they heard our glorifying God in all that we're hoping for. Amen? And they realized that they're at the same place in life that we are, just a little different road. But then, were we going to actually give them the invitation to come and be with us? And the answer was yes, not because of me, but because the Spirit spoke to me and said, "Invite them in." And I did. We did. So we need to pray for Joe and Jesse. Put their names down. Two homeless men and their dog Monster. The most friendly dog I've ever come across. That they would be safe on the road, and that in their journey to finding whatever their next is, that they'll truly find Jesus Christ. The invitation was sent out. Now it's up to them to receive it. Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone and start giving out invitations? We need to be that church. Because we know we're going. But that doesn't mean our job's done. Would you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, as we look over this word, and we understand that when it comes to this marriage feast, that many are invited, but few receive it. Lord, may we remember that we're supposed to be the ones out there doing the invitation, giving the word of life and hope, that others may come, so that your banquet feast may be full, and that we who then become the bride would receive from you the greatest blessings of all eternity. And Lord, we do it not for the blessings, but we do it because of the love that you poured out upon us and the fact that we need to share it. Because when it's shared, it's increased. It's not decreased. It's not like the world, because your kingdom is 180 degrees from this world. Your kingdom is a kingdom of light, of love, of compassion, and mercy. So Lord, we pray that you would receive us, that each of us would walk in that day clothed in the righteousness of Christ, knowing that we've sent out the invitation also, and joy in the fact that when we get there, we see those who have received that invitation simply because we loved them enough to hand them the invitation, that they may be there as well. Father, as we go forth from this place, we simply ask that you use us, because there is a time coming when we know the heavenly city. We'll descend from heaven, and we will live with you forever. And Father, unto that day, may we be found faithful, and may thy kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.